So I'm super excited about the message today. I hope you have your listening ears on. Are you ready to hear? This is just one of those messages that if I could get one message across, this might be one of them. It's such an important message. So I pray that the Lord would just open up our hearts to hear what the Spirit says today. Let us pray. Father God, I just pray that you would open up our hearts to hear from you today. Lord, speak to us. God, help us to understand what you would have us to hear today. I ask this in your name, and everyone said, amen. Are you hurting today because someone you love has hurt you? Or maybe you're wrestling with the sting of a relationship that didn't work. Maybe it started off really good, but then it eroded quickly. And maybe you've had several relationships that they start off really good, but then they go downhill really quickly. And what's left is broken promises, broken homes, and broken families. And you kind of don't understand what's wrong. I mean, as a kid, you had this dream of happy ever after, but your experience has been anything but happy ever after. Let's face it, relationships are hard. And the reason why is because you put two fallen people together and they're going to hurt one another. And as one person said, hurting people hurt people. So maybe today you're out there and you're wrestling with the sting of a broken relationship. Or maybe you're a young person and you're like, you see all these relationships end and you're like, how do I make love work? Well, what if what appears to be the problem is just a symptom of something that's deeper? What if the core problem is that we define love wrongly? And what if we have the wrong role models for love? The romance novels, the movies, the actors, the athletes. What if the issue is that we really don't understand what love is according to the Bible? So that's the question I want you to think about today. What is love? So imagine being at your family gathering this year for Christmas, and you're around a Christmas tree, and you just play the question game, and you ask the question, what is love? And first of all, there's Uncle Ed, and he's got his bright red Christmas tree sweater on. And he says, well, that's easy. Love is a feeling. And then he quotes that famous hymn of the church, you've lost that loving feeling. You know what I mean? And then it's Aunt Edna's turn, and she's wearing this drugstore perfume, a little too much of it. And she says, well, love is a brain chemical. It's just your brain making chemicals. That's what love is. And then some of the kids chime in, and they say, well, I love pizza, I love licorice, and I love SpongeBob. And what stands out to you is that there's all these different definitions of love. And you start to think, well, what is love? And then you think about the Christmas story, and you think about Nazareth, and there was this bachelor named Joseph, and he was a hardworking carpenter, and he was betrothed to Mary, and back in this culture, this was a binding marriage contract, and they hadn't yet started their life together, and one day, Mary comes to Joseph and says, I'm pregnant, and Joseph's like, he knew it wasn't him, right? So his mind went to, you've cheated on me. And he was going to divorce Mary. But the angel came and said, don't do this. What has happened is supernatural. Mary has been impregnated by the Holy Spirit and is going to give birth to the Savior of the world, Jesus. And then that little baby is born and he grows up to be a man. And you start diving into his life and you begin to understand that the thing that characterized him above everything else was one word, love. And you begin to think, what if I made him my role model for love? What if instead of looking to the romance novels and the movies and the actors and the athletes, the culture definition of what love is, what if I made Jesus my role model of love? And then it hits you. You're sitting there thinking to yourself, what is love? And then it hits you. In Jesus, God answers the question, what is love? In other words, if you want to know what love is, look how Jesus treated people. Love is as Jesus does. Love is treating the people the way Jesus treated people. And you just became enamored and fascinated with Jesus. And in every situation, you asked yourself, how would Jesus treat this person? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? In Jesus, God answered the question, what is love? So you left here and you're like, wow, I got a new role model for love. I'm gonna study Jesus. I'm gonna focus on how Jesus treated people. And you started to ask yourself some questions. And the first question is, what would Jesus want me to do? You know, that baby again grew up and became a man. And as an adult, he said these words, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciple if you love one another. Now notice, look up here for a moment. If you're sleeping, wake up for a moment. Jesus said, here's the number one thing I want my followers to be known for. Love. Out of everything, the number one thing I want my followers to be known for is love. Is that what you're known for? When people think of you, when people describe you, would they say, wow, they're so loving? Imagine a legacy of love. Now, as a pastor for almost 30 years and have done many funerals, I can tell you that when the chips are down, this is what matters. Loving God and loving others. That's it. Imagine if you began to understand my purpose every day is to get up and share the love of Christ with others. Now notice he says, a new command I give you. Now that's interesting because in the Old Testament it talks about love, right? What makes this command new? Here's what makes it new. Jesus says, I'm the role model. Love others the way I've loved you. That's what makes this new. What if we have the wrong role models? You know, role models are so important. Who you choose to have as a role model is so important, young people. And what if Jesus became our role model on how to treat others? What if we asked, what would Jesus want me to do here? What would Jesus want me to say? How would he want me to act? And then Holy Spirit, give me the power to do so. Now, you think about Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and 10. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Notice it says the continuing debt to love one another. Now, obviously, we can't repay Christ for the love he's shown for us. But what we can do is we can pay it forward. Think about how Christ has lavishly shared his love with us. And what we can do is we can pay it forward. Imagine getting up every day and thinking, I'm going to share the love that Christ has given me with those I encounter. Next, I want you to notice it says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, imagine a person breaking the law, getting pulled over by the police or going to court. They broke the law. Question, are you breaking the law of love? Am I breaking the law of love? Or am I treating people the way Jesus would treat people? Love is treating people the way Christ would treat people. Love is as Jesus does. If we want to know what love is, we don't look to the romance novels or the movies or the whatever. We look to who? We look to Jesus. That is true love. So Pastor Bruce moved his family to a small village in Alaska. And at first, his son Nathan, he was about 2 years old, was really having a hard time adjusting. So in his fear, what he would do is he would carry his safety blanket with him wherever he went. How many of you remember a safety blanket? And some of you, how many of you still have one? Yeah, I see those hands being raised. But he would just carry this safety blanket around and it would make him feel safe. And about a year being into the village, Pastor Bruce was asked to go speak at this missions conference in Seattle. So one night he was in his room and he's packing up his luggage and Nate is in there. And Nate's like, Dad, are you scared to go to Seattle? But Dad was really just kind of focused and wasn't really paying attention to Nate. And he got on the plane and took off and went to Seattle and he spoke at the conference. And then when he got back at the hotel room, he was unpacking his suitcase when all of a sudden he looked and it was Nate's safety blanket. He's like, oh, that's horrible. So he got on the phone and he called his wife and his wife said, oh, honey, don't worry, don't worry. See, after you left, Nate and I prayed for you. And then Nate said to me, Mommy, don't worry about Daddy. He'll be okay. I sent my safety blanket with him. Imagine seeking to excel at love. Imagine, you know, the Bible says love never fails. So if whatever we're doing in a spirit of love, we can't fail. Imagine saying, if I don't excel at anything else, the thing that I want to excel at is loving people and treating people the way Jesus did. And imagine having Christ as our role model, right? And you ask, what would Jesus want me to do in this moment? But the second thing you would ask is, how can I love those who are hard to love? Now, how many of you know someone who's hard to love? Why are you all looking at me? Do you know what I call these people? EGR, extra grace required, right? Maybe they rub you the wrong way. You want to avoid them. Maybe you're going to see them at Christmas gatherings this year, and you don't want to be in the same room as you. Maybe they're always bragging about their kids, or maybe they're always criticizing you, or maybe they've hurt you, or maybe they've hurt your loved one. And if you're truthful and honest, what you want to do is settle the score and get revenge. But what does the role model say? But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. But I say to you, love your enemies and do good to those that hurt you. Wow. Talk about a radical difference. Our culture teaches get revenge, settle the score. I'm going to hurt you because you hurt me. And along comes Jesus who says, no, you walk by a different drummer. You love them. You pray for them. You do good to them. Now, one of the things we're going to talk about in this message is that biblical love transcends feelings. Right? And this is one of the reasons I know that, because when Jesus said, love your enemies, he's not saying have warm feelings for them. Because, I mean, you can't just command someone, oh, have warm feelings for someone, right? Especially if they've hurt you. So that's one of the reasons I know that true love transcends feelings. And here's the other thing. I cannot live this way unless the Holy Spirit gives me his love. Amen? And it's the same with you and I. In fact, Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? God's love has been poured into our heart through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, give me the ability to love that difficult person. Holy Spirit, give me the ability to love that difficult relative. Holy Spirit, give me love to love that difficult coworker. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies. You know, I think about Pastor Ghassan Thomas. He was a pastor at a church in Baghdad after the fall of Saddam Hussein. And one night he faced a really scary situation. Some bandits raided the church and left a warning on a piece of cardboard. Here's what they wrote. Jesus is not the light Allah is. You've been warned. And then they signed it, the Islamic Shiite Party. Now, how did Pastor Thomas respond? Did he seek revenge? Did he like, I'm going to hate you for hating me? Did he meet hate with more hate? Actually, what he did is he filled up this van with children's gifts and medical supplies and brought them to the headquarters of the Shiite party with a message that said, "Christians have love for you because our God is a God of love." And that act tore down the wall, and the Shiite leader apologized. And he said, "This will not happen again. You are my brother, and if anyone comes to kill you, it'll be my neck first." Who is Jesus asking you to love that's difficult to love? Jesus said, "Love your enemy." Again, it's not having a warm feeling. It's praying for them. It's blessing them. "Lord, I forgive them, I bless them, and I wish them well. Lord, I forgive them, I bless them, and I wish them well." So today we're asking this question, what if Jesus was our role model of love? And we're asking the question, what would Jesus have me to do in this moment? And Jesus, how do I show love to this difficult person? And the final thing is that, what does this person need and how can I meet it? What does this person need and how can I meet it? So we've been talking about Christmas today, but let's kind of look ahead to Easter, specifically Good Friday. And on Good Friday, what do? We remember the death of Christ on the cross. And think about Jesus dying on the cross. He didn't say, "This feels good." But that's what love is. Love is sacrificial living for the good of another. It's selfless giving. In fact, 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ, what? Laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Did you see it? We've been asking the question today, what is love? It says what love is. This is love. It's sacrifice. It's service. What if we just have the wrong role models of love? What if we're looking in the wrong place, the romance novels, the movies, the TV? What if we have the wrong definition of love? And what if love is actually a sacrificial life where we seek the benefit of another? You know, James Hunter, my favorite definition of love, love is extending yourself to identify and meet the legitimate needs of the other and seek their highest good. So love is extending yourself. Think about Christ coming out of heaven, coming to earth. He left the glory of heaven to come to earth. That's extending yourself. It's identifying and meeting the needs of another. God knew that our greatest need was forgiveness. So he sent Jesus to live on the cross. Once there were two brothers who shared a mill and a field, and the one brother was single and the other brother was married and had children. And what they would do is at the end of the day, they would kind of divide the grain evenly between them. But one day the single brother thought to himself, "It's not fair that we divide the grain evenly. I have only myself to care for. My brother has all those children to take care of." So what he would do is at night he would take some of his grain and sneak over to his brother's place and give his brother his grain. But what he didn't know is that his brother was doing the same thing. And his other brother thought to himself, "It's not fair that we divide the grain evenly. I have children who are going to take care of me in old age. My brother has no one." Well, one night they were doing this and they met. And they realized what was happening, and they embraced in love. Love is sacrifice. It's service. I think one of the reasons there's so much pain around love in our culture is we don't understand what love is. The Life Application Bible says, "Our society confuses love and lust. Unlike lust, God's kind of love is directed outwards towards others, not inward towards ourselves. It's utterly unselfish. This kind of love goes against our natural inclinations. It is possible to practice this kind of love only if God helps us set aside our own desires and instincts so that we can give love while experiencing nothing in return. Thus, the more we become like Christ, the more we will show love to others. You know, over the years, a spouse has come to me and said, well, I don't have loving feelings for my spouse, so I think I'm going to leave them. And they think that, well, since I don't have those feelings of love, that I can leave them. Well, that might be correct if love was a feeling, right? But what we're talking about today is that biblical love transcends feeling. It's a verb. In fact, think about God's definition of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, here's what it did not say. It did not say love is a feeling. It didn't say that. Love is something you do. It's a verb. A man once went to his counselor and was thinking about leaving his wife because he didn't feel the feelings of love for her. And he's like, you know, the spark is gone. I don't have these loving feelings for my spouse. And I don't see any point in continuing with the marriage. And the counselor looked at him and said, here's what I want you to do. Love her. The guy's like, are you listening to me? I don't have these feelings of love. But the counselor won't budge. Love her. Well, how do you love when you don't have those feelings of love? And the counselor said, love her. He could tell the guy wasn't getting it. So then he explained. He says, real love is action. It's choice. It's commitment. It's acting lovingly regardless of what you feel. And then he gave him a list of ways to love his spouse, serve her, listen to her, show appreciation, sacrifice, do acts of kindness, invest energy into the relationship. You know, one of the biggest things that I've learned in my life is feelings are indicators, not dictators. And we acknowledge our feelings, yes, but we're not led by our feelings. It's learning to unhook my behavior from my feelings, because let's face it, my feelings can lead me astray. If I followed my feelings, I would eat a bucket of ice cream every night. My wife will testify to that. And it feels good for a moment. Have you ever noticed that? Often what feels good in the long run isn't good. So it's learning to unhook your behavior from your feelings. You acknowledge your feelings, but then you hook your behavior to God's commands, to God's truth. R.C. Sproul says, are you a sensuous Christian? He then says, what is a sensuous Christian? One dictionary defines sensuous as, quote, pertaining to the senses or sensible objects, highly susceptible to the influence through the senses. The sensuous Christian is one who lives by his feelings rather than through his understanding of the word of God. The sensuous Christian cannot be moved to service, prayer, or study unless he feels like it. His Christian life is only as effective as the intensity of his present feelings. When he experiences spiritual euphoria, he's a whirlwind of activity. When he's depressed, he's a spiritual incompetent. He constantly seeks new and fresh spiritual experiences and uses them to determine the word of God. His inner feelings become the ultimate test of truth. No, our feelings are not the test of truth. God's word is the test of truth. Amen? So here's the question. Who is someone God is calling you to love this Christmas? Maybe it's a relative you haven't spoken to in a long time. Again, it's not having a warm feeling towards them. It's praying for them. It's doing good to them. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I just pray for a baptism in the Holy Spirit, a baptism of love, the Christ kind of love in us. helping us to love others, even our enemy. Holy Spirit, teach us what true love is. God, help us to examine who our role models of love are. And as of today, starting now, may we make you, Jesus, the role model. In the power of the Spirit, help us to treat people the way you would treat people. Help us to not treat them based on how they've treated us. No. Help us to not be reactive. Help us to be proactive. God, help us to love those who are difficult to love, our enemies, reminding ourselves, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. God, help us to overcome selfishness. Help me to overcome my selfishness, God. Help us to live a sacrificial life. Help us to extend ourselves to identify and meet the legitimate needs, not wants or greeds, but needs of others in the name of Christ. Lord, I pray that even our church, it wouldn't be known for this nice building. It wouldn't be known for donuts. It wouldn't be known for all these other things, but it would be known for how we treat each other and how we treat our community. God, may love be our greatest aim. Help us to treat people. Help us to treat others. God, for those that are lacking purpose in their life right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help them to see that they have a purpose, and that purpose is to share your love with everyone they encounter at the grocery store, at church, in the community. God, I pray for marriages where one of the spouses is like, I don't have those feelings anymore. Help them to just love the other person. Serve, sacrifice, listen. God, help us to not be a sensuous Christian. Help us to unhook our behavior from our feelings. We acknowledge our feelings, yes, but we choose to live according to your truth. God, forgive us when we do it wrong. I just pray that above all, we would be known for our love. So today is Communion Sunday, and it's interesting how it correlates. We've been talking about what is love, and today we're celebrating communion. And the cross reminds us that true love is always sacrificial. It brings us back to the cross, and what unites us today is the cross of Christ, Jesus giving his life for us on the cross. This is more than just bread and juice. It's about remembering that true love is costly. It's sacrifice. It's serving. Now, children are welcome to join us today if they understand what this is about. So this would be parents making that decision if they understand what this is ultimately about. And maybe you're not even from our church, but if you are a born-again believer, you're welcome to celebrate communion with us. We have some gluten-free wafers up there. We use juice, not wine. We're going to be putting a picture on the screen of how to come forward. And this is a time to reflect. It's a time to confess. Take a moment. Is there anything that you need to confess to the Lord? And then once you get the elements, you'll go back to your seat, and then we will partake of them together. So let us now come forward to receive the elements. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread together. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us take the drink together. Lord, thank you for your love that was revealed through your sacrifice. Help us to walk in the ways of Jesus. Help us to treat others the way Jesus would treat us. Jesus would treat them. Help us to love those that are difficult to love, and help us to practice sacrificial living. Amen. As we get ready to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with its mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him, Jesus, with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Notice how gift giving was originally about giving gifts to Jesus. So as we worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings, we have some ways that you can give digitally. We're also going to have the ushers come in a few moments. But let us remember that the church is his body, so whatever you give to the church, you're giving to the Lord. It is now time for us to worship the Lord through our tithes and offerings. Today we've been asking the question, what is love? And what we've discovered is that in Jesus, God defines what love is. Love is treating others the way Jesus would. Love even loves those that are difficult to love, those that have hurt us. It's not a feeling. It's a godly action towards them. It's praying for them. It's blessing them. It's learning to unhook our behavior from our feelings. We acknowledge our feelings, yes, but we don't let our feelings lead us. We let the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So we unhook our behavior from our feelings and we hook our behavior to God's Word and His Spirit. Love is sacrifice. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Imagine if you and I had a legacy of love. Imagine if that's what we were known for. He loved so well. He loved like Jesus. We're going to have friends up here to pray with you if you would like someone to pray with you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Now may you go in the grace and the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week.
Sing it.